This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 6, Life Together. In this episode, Stacy Tassler-Crossan and I wrestle with what it means for followers of Christ to live in community with each other.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
Welcome to this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. It's good to have you back with us again. I'm very appreciative of those of you who have chosen to subscribe on iTunes to the Praying with the Eyes podcast, and good to have you with us. I have a special guest with me today. First time we've done this where I've done a Skype conversation with someone. Her name will sound familiar to some of you, and to others it probably won't. But with me today is Stacy Tassler-Crossan. Stacy, good to have you with us.
It's wonderful to be here with you, Pastor Doug.
Yeah, it's been a long time. You've been back in Colorado Springs a few times. I remember one time you and Tom and I went to lunch, and that was about all. Because you know, as we got ready for this podcast today, you told me it has been 13 years that you since you left Holy Cross. It's a long time.
Yeah, I ended up getting married, and
that happens, doesn't it?
Actually, met my husband at Holy Cross, so it was a double blessing. But
yeah.
Yeah, so we've been in Germany the last 13 years, and about a year ago, God called me back into the ministry, and so here we found ourselves a year later planted here in Springfield, Virginia at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, and totally loving it. We're really happy to be home.
You spent almost 13, or did it spend 13 years, 12 years in Germany?
Yeah, it was 13 years.
And that would be a different experience. You said your German wasn't so good. How'd you survive for 13 years knowing German?
Well, I think, you know, being connected with the military, we lived in places that were pretty predominant English speaking. My kids went to German school, so they came home fluent in German. But Jeff and I mean, we got by most of the time. You know, 90% of our life was in the English realm. He worked on base. I worked on base. I had a private practice at the end. But most of our life was in English.
So yeah. Do your kids still speak German at home once in a while?
Not at home. They've never spoken German at home. They've always kind of lived in this dual reality. But the wonderful thing about Springfield is they have a lot of different programs in Fairfax County. And they're enrolled in a German immersion program. So at Orange Hunt Elementary School, half of their day is in German. So they're able to continue with their German speaking.
Yeah, I know you were really excited about that school when you moved there, that they were able to engage in.
Yeah, you know, I think it really kind of goes with this idea about community, because I think living in this dual reality that my kids did, half German during the day and then at night with English, the sense of community is so different when you're immersed completely in a culture, home, school, and church, that has the same language. And I think one of the cool things is someone stopped Ava, my 9-year-old, one day, and she said, they asked her, like, you know, what is it, you know, that you love the best about being back in America, and especially here in Springfield? And out of the mouths of babes, she just said, you know, I love the community.
Wow.
And
wow.
That really spoke a lot to me about just, I guess, a little bit of disconnectedness that probably she was feeling, as well as I mean, Jeff and I felt it too, even though, you know, we were there 13 years. It wasn't integrated in the sense of, you know, the language aspect of it. So, yeah, the sense of community, it's been great to be back in a faith community that's vibrant and alive, as well as having neighbors, you know, having a sense of communication with our neighbors and being able to be in relationship with them on a more intimate level, really due to language. And then the school aspect, being able to participate as parents more fully in it.
It's true, though, when you go to a foreign country, even to visit a foreign country, you become keenly aware of community formed around language. and how your language, not speaking a language, separates you from community, not speaking the same language. And actually, I think that's a good way for us to get into our topic today, because we're going to talk about community, about Christian community. We're going to use Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, that Stacy had introduced us to when she was on staff here at Holy Cross, that we read as a staff, and one that I pull out frequently, actually, and especially the first part of the book that we're going to deal with. It, to me, is very powerful. Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and if you'd like to find out more about Holy Cross, we'd love to have you come and check our website, which is www.holycrosscs, as in Colorado Springs, holycrosscs.org. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that the congregation supports this ministry and allows me the opportunity to have these conversations with people like Stacy and dig deeper into God's Word and it's what it means for our lives. If you would like to email me, I have a new email address that I've set up through the website, through the Praying with the Eyes website, and you can email me with your questions at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. That's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com, and I'd love to hear your questions or thoughts about today's podcast and other thoughts you might have on maybe just your faith journey and your sense of community or what it is you're going through in life. I'd love to hear from you. And of course, I'd love for you to come to our website. A lot of different blogs that are written there. You'll find a daily devotional blog that I write where I connect a picture that I've taken with a short devotional thought. And that website is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. And I'm grateful for that growing community that continues to spread the word about the website. So, Stacy, let's talk about community here, and starting one of the things Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about is that we relate to each other because of Christ. But before we get into that, I think we have to backtrack a bit and say, why do people in general, not just Christians, why do people in general struggle with being in community?
Well, I think, you know, most importantly, I think why people struggle is it's messy. You know, being in community is messy. Dealing with broken, imperfect, sinful people, it's not easy. And it takes a big time commitment. And I think today people are just so busy and so spread thin that really to commit to authentic life together, it requires a commitment. And especially when times get tough and when things get messy.
And with the thought came to me as you said that, it's not just other people's mess. I become keenly aware of my own mess then.
Definitely.
In community, I'm pointed out my struggles. My family just got back from a week's time in a timeshare in Avon, Colorado, and spending that time together as a family, I have this idea it's always going to be nice and we're all going to get along with each other. And we did get along. That wasn't the issue. But I wasn't always inside of me. There were some real struggles going on because of conversations and things that went on in that community of the family.
Yeah, you know, when you're with people, it brings out the best and it brings out the worst in yourself. And so you're not just dealing with other people's mess, but your own. You're keenly aware of, you know, that even as a marital and family therapist, you think that, you know, I have it all together with relationships. Well, you know, that's not the case. I mean, I'm as flawed as everybody else. And especially, you know, when you're hanging out with the people, sometimes the closest to you is they get to see the worst parts of yourself. So, you know, imagine if it's that messy with each other, those closest to us, it takes time to, when you're really trying to develop community with other Christians, for walls to be broken down, to be able to be vulnerable with each other. I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about, you know, the masks that we wear, and just getting people to take those off, to be vulnerable, and to be allowed to be messy with each other. There's a lot of stumbling blocks for people to do that.
And so the problem we have as people being in community then carries over into the Christian community. And so Bonhoeffer talks about that we need to really, we need each other because of Christ. And so he says in his short book, first, the Christian is the man who no longer seeks his salvation, his deliverance, his justification in himself, but in Jesus Christ. The Christian no longer lives of himself, but by his own claims and his own justification, but by God's claim and God's justification. Doesn't that kind of idea go contrary to our human nature? It seems like I'm always trying to justify myself.
Yeah.
Janice calls me on the carpet about that all the time. I mean, she doesn't use that word, but why do you have to explain that to me? I always feel like I have to justify myself.
Yeah, we're always trying to prove ourselves, our point or our idea. Yeah, and I think it stems from really kind of a lack of that, you know, identity that we are found complete in Christ.
Yeah, and there's something, it's saying something about deep in the core of my being, that something's messed up, that for whatever reason, I mean, I can go back into my childhood and remember trying to justify my behavior to my parents, hopefully to avoid a spanking. But, you know, there was a reason I had to justify. There's something lacking. So this idea that outside of me, God would justify me, and I don't have to, and I can't justify myself, that's a really foreign concept.
Yeah, and I don't think we have a lot of, you know, reminders of that today. He goes on to talk about how, you know, we're to be gospel bearers to one another. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm not reminded of that identity a lot, even in the church.
Oh, I think especially in the church. Yeah, I think I really believe we get sidetracked. And that's why I enjoyed, again, reading Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. And I would suggest that it's a small book. I pick it up and read it. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. I find that inside of me, maybe I can't believe that God would justify me either. I don't know. You know, people are tangible. God is not tangible. You know, I'm left to words. And that's what Bonhoeffer kind of stresses too. It's about words. And the word that comes up from inside of us is not a reliable word. Okay. So I need you in the body of Christ to tell me what God has done for me. Because your word is more reliable than my word.
Yeah. I'm reading another really good book right now by David Ludwig and Mary Jacob on Christian concepts for care. And they really hit this home too. You know, they write, it says, you know, God created the world so that his loving presence, agape, would be with his people. But because of sin, the natural state for all lacks this agape, forcing children to handle situations in a self-protective manner. And this leads to dysfunctional strategies. And that's really what, you know, what you're talking about with this, you know, this lack of identity that we have. Like, the word that does not come natural for us is agape.
Yeah, and not at all.
We need to be bearers of that word for one another, that God loves us, because we're lacking that. And so then we turn inward, that Latin phrase incurvatus in C, you know, love turned on self. And then it becomes all about self-protection. And that's where you're when you justify yourself with your spouse or you're proving yourself to your coworker, it's all based on that sense of, you know, God loves me, period, that I'm fully accepted, fully loved, period.
But here's the conundrum we're in about that, as I'm listening to you, is that I am so ingrained in my sinful self at times, a broken self, that I so desire that love from other people that I don't become that instrument myself of speaking Christ's love into their life. And so we get this kind of circle of, it becomes so difficult in the Christian community to do what Bonhoeffer suggests.
Yeah, it's really hard. We don't have models of it. You know, we're living most of our life in this, you know, kind of cultural world. The world doesn't give us models of or voices of agape, of acceptance, that we're okay. And so, you know, when we do come across them or hear them, it's really hard to like make it sink in. You know, he goes on to say that he makes this claim that the reason I need to be in community with other Christians is because I need you and you need me to speak the word of God in one another's life. And I guess, you know, when is the last time, Pastor Doug, that someone spoke the word of God to you?
Yeah, Janice does, fortunately.
Let's say minus your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, minus your spouse.
Yeah, yeah.
When is the last time someone spoke the word of God to you?
You know, I'm having a hard time recalling. It's not saying it didn't happen. I'm just having a hard time recalling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Well,
you know,
but
we don't get it all the time. We have to think about it, you know, of that last time.
What we focus on in the church are all the secondary issues of potlucks, you know, and all this stuff. They're good. They're not terrible, but they distract us from speaking that word of Christ into each other. And sometimes it's a difficult word because Bonhoeffer says this. It's not just the word of gospel. It's the word of law, too, we speak to each other. You know,
yeah.
And that ability to become that vulnerable where someone can call us on our stuff, but also then speak the word of forgiveness to each other. Stacey, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, Bonhoeffer talks about, yes, we relate to each other because of Christ, but we also relate to each other through Christ. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged. Then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Welcome back to this edition of Praying with the Eyes. We have with me Stacy Tassler-Crossan, who is on staff here at Holy Cross and worked with me for 3 years. We came just a couple of months apart from each other here at Holy Cross in 1999, which was just yesterday, right, Stacy? We haven't changed at all. You and I haven't changed one bit.
Not at all. It's great to
marriage, children, no hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we'd love to have you come and visit our website for Holy Cross at www.holycrosscs.org. If you have questions, please email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Stacy, during that break, you were sharing with me that somebody spoke Christ into your life this week. What was that? What happened?
Well, I've been struggling kind of with a relationship, and so I sat down with a brother in Christ, and he really challenged me, and it was one of those moments where exactly what Bonhoeffer is talking about of speaking the word of God, being a gospel bearer to one another. And he just simply said, you know, do you love this person? And of course I said, yeah, you know, of course I love them. And then he said, well, why aren't you going to go and talk to them then? And I said, well, I'm scared. And he said, this is where the word of God was proclaimed. He said, but perfect love casts out fear. So he really challenged me, like, do you love him? And I said, well, I guess on my own ability to love, like, I guess no. But on Christ's power, you know, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. that perfect love does dwell within me. And I went back to my office and I really, you know, had to think about that. You know, do I love this person? And do I love them based on my ability to love or on Christ's ability to love? And so, you know, God said, you know, that I am with you, that my love, my perfect love casts out fear. And that empowered me then to go again to this person and talk with them. And not that it always ends up perfect. You know, it ended up being a good conversation. But the fact is that I went out emboldened by the word of God, that his love dwelt within me and that I wasn't on my own. Well, you know what? I wouldn't have got to that place hadn't my brother in faith spoke that to me and challenged me. And so that's where we can bring the word of God to one another. Sometimes it's just in a simple question, you know, do you love that person? And then being able to challenge one another. But, you know, that requires a bit of vulnerability and trust that you can say those words to one another without the other person being offended or hurt. And so that's the kind of conversations, though, that we need to start cultivating and encouraging in the church.
Okay,
that
so
we're all here.
I totally agree with you. So let's take this on then, because it's an important question to deal with. Why don't we? Why are we so unwilling to develop those kind of relationships where I would assume that because of that brother talking to you and encouraging you and speaking a difficult word to you, you went to this other individual, you talked to them, and there's still something that having that conversation, that end up having this conversation is a better, you're at a better place than you were before you had the conversation with that individual because of the encouragement of this other brother. There's something better came out of it, right?
Yeah, and even if it hadn't gone better,
okay,
the fact
because that's
is
a possibility
that I still, you know, I was obedient,
yeah.
And that obedience was not to like affect a relationship with God, but to reflect that relationship with God. That, you know, I believe that God's Spirit was in me. That, you know, His love casts out fear. And so it was really about me, you know, allowing Christ's love to overcome that fear within me. So when I just, you know, went, when I walked out and stepped outside of that fear, you know, that's where the success or, you know, that's where the blessing came in. Whether or not the conversation went well, you know, that's another aspect.
That's important. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, so this is really a good story to get us to where we're going in this segment, because so we've talked about relating because of Christ, and that's what happened in that situation. But it's also through Christ. And what I got this picture of Bonhoeffer talking to us is that Christ is there between me and my brother or sister in Christ. He writes, without Christ, we should not know God. We could not call upon him nor come to him. But without Christ, we also would not know our brother, nor could we come to him. Christ opened up the way to God and to our brother. Now, Christians can live with one another in peace. They can love and serve one another. They can become one. And there's a lot there. What's he saying about community?
Well, you know, for me, coming, I guess, from, you know, 13 years living in Germany, where I don't feel I really had a sense of community in the sense of like what Bonhoeffer is talking about here, and especially since I had experienced it before. So coming from Holy Cross and being involved in the church life there, especially Via de Cristo at the time, really feeling like an authenticity of Christian community, I think he's coming, you know, that because of Christ, we can begin to enjoy the fruits and the blessings of community again. We get to meet together and pray together and confess together, forgive each other, exhort each other, encourage one another. You know, because of Christ, we have this opportunity to be in ministry, be real and open again. That the walls, those divisions, that fear, it's all been taken away.
You know, I think there's also something here visually for me in this, that relating to each other through Christ, if I can picture Jesus Christ standing between me and the brother or sister in Christ, so I see that picture, then take Christ out of that picture and I'm having direct contact with that person. There's a really dramatic difference just in that visual of how I'm relating to this other person. For me, having Christ stand in the middle is a less fearful picture than direct contact with that individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember my senior year of college that that visual actually that you're talking about is the message that we gave. We actually had kind of this transparent cross. We did this skit where we had people act out, you know, kind of relationships without having that cross in the middle and what that resulted from. And then we had this transparent cross then kind of enter in between people. And it was like a life-changing experience for me. And I have to admit, like, I don't always, when my kid is like talking back at me, it's hard to think that there is this, you know, Jesus, that there is this cross in between her and I, to see her through the eyes of Christ, to see her through the eyes of the cross. Same thing with maybe when a brother or a sister in Christ is, you know, giving me feedback or giving me some criticism, it's hard to see and experience that person as if, you know, you're looking through the eyes of Christ. I think it's a discipline, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. You know what's interesting too? What about this? What if, because maybe there's some people listening to some marriages that are kind of struggling. Maybe there's some really on the rocks, and maybe they've gone to a lawyer already. What if they could place a cross in between them on a dining room table and start talking to each other through that cross? I mean, it sounds hokey or stuff, but you know, we're visual people. I'm a visual person, and something like that can really make a difference when we start relating to each other, seeing Jesus there. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to an earlier comment I made, you know, about this, you know, God's loving presence comes through agape, and that agape is the epitome of the cross. And so it's being able to look at each other, your agenda, your ego, all of that aside, and looking through agape love to that person. It is definitely kind of like a higher skill. I mean, it is such a simple thing, isn't it?
Well, it sounds simple, but it seems, it should be simple, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be. But that tells you how strong our ego is.
Yeah.
How strong this love on self is, that this pride that we have. And I'll go back to my example with, you know, my friend telling me, you know, well, do you love him? I had to lay my pride aside.
Yeah.
Because I had to admit that, you know what, I guess I don't really love him the way that Christ has called me to love him, because perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really struggling with this because I my ego is huge, and I know that especially in the issues you're talking about, when it comes to talking to somebody one-on-one about an issue, family members as well as people, other people, I just struggle with it because I think really when it comes down to it, I'm not willing to see Christ between me and that other individual. And I seek out too many times what Bonhoeffer says I shouldn't seek out, direct contact with that person. Or that's the way, at least that's the way I'm visualizing it when I have to talk to somebody about difficult things. And we're talking about difficult things. I think it always has to be something that's difficult. I mean, even in joyous times in a relationship with somebody else, it's necessary to see Christ between me and that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Just thinking about it. I don't know. It's, but to me, it's critical. This is an important issue that we're wrestling with here. So why? Bonhoeffer's suggesting we don't come to each other through Christ. Well, how can we build a habit inside of ourselves then that it comes almost automatically that when I'm relating to somebody, I'm thinking in terms of I'm relating to this person through Christ, even if I'm just having coffee talking about how our day is going? There's a way we can build that habit into our life.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I don't think I've figured that out yet. I mean, I was just talking to someone this Sunday, a member in the Narthex, on this exact topic about how can we, it's hard to see ourself with that agape love inside, that God sees us that way. It's even harder to see someone else that way. And again, I think it goes back to this Bonhoeffer's encouragement to us that we need to be gospel bearers to one another. And we need to keep reminding. I think maybe the tool or the discipline is, you know, urging one another on in this, you know, being able to ask the tough question like, well, if you were looking at this person through the eyes of Christ, what might be different? How might your response be different? I think it begins with a gentle reminder, a gentle word of encouragement.
You know, maybe as you're talking, what I'm thinking to my mind is maybe the place to begin is very elementary and start seeking out community with Christians. I mean, I'm not sure we seek out community with Christians. Maybe that's where we need to begin. And then in seeking that out, understanding that we're going to try to see Christ, see each other through Christ. So Stacy and I, so far, we've talked about the Bonhoeffer's encouragement that we engage each other because of Christ, that we relate to each other through Christ. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about what it means to relate to each other in Christ. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
I'd like to encourage you to go to the Praying with the Eyes website. I have started growing a list of other bloggers who are writing on the website, and they're very gifted, and I think you'll find the topics that we deal with rather interesting, as they are fellow journeyers through life with us. And I encourage you to go to prayingwiththeeyes.com and to read those blogs that are there, and to leave comments as well, and share the website with other people. Once again, if you have questions and you would like to address, and if you have them for Stacy, I'll make sure Stacy gets them too. If you have any questions for either of us, be sure to email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Bonhoeffer writes, when God's Son took on flesh, He truly and bodily took on out of pure grace our being, our nature, ourselves. Now we are in Him, where He is, there we are too, in the incarnation on the cross and in His resurrection. We belong to Him because we are in Him. And just for those of you saying, what's that word incarnation? It comes from a Latin word for being, taking on flesh. And it's simply saying there that when He took on flesh, we're there too. Anyway, to me, that comment speaks of our identity in Christ. This is a big issue for me, Stacy. I say this often to people that come into my office, that we define ourselves too often by our failures or our successes, which become our identity, rather than our baptismal identity of being a child of God. Okay, I am in Christ. That's my true identity. A lot of the other stuff changes, comes and goes. It's a part of my story. Yeah, I'm trying to deny that. But the one thing that will never be taken away from me, my true identity is I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ. And I think that radically changes my perspective when I look at my own life.
Yeah, but I wonder if you polled, you know, a bunch of old-time Lutherans, such as ourselves.
You and I don't know any old-time Lutherans, do we?
I think those words, I'm a child of God, I think we're used to thinking more like I, a poor, miserable sinner.
Okay, go further with that.
Well, I think that, you know, we sometimes, I think, err on the side of really, like, you know, getting in touch with that poor, miserable sinner part. I mean, we remind ourselves of that every week. And I'm not saying that confession's not important. But I think that, you know, that part of our liturgy has been really ingrained in us, where this identity that we are free, that we are a child of God, I'm not sure that has taken its hold on as much for us.
I totally agree with you. And this has been a challenge for me lately. You know, let's talk about that. So for those of you who don't know, who maybe don't come from a liturgical background listening to this, we in Lutheranism follow a historical liturgical process. But, you know, historically, Stacy, the confessional aspect of that service was done usually privately with the pastor. And it was not corporately done. Corporately, it came in later. But it is. It's where I remember in my confirmation class, the pastor talking about that whole the emphasis on the confession of sins, and we don't hear the word of absolution that comes. I mean, that's pretty. I, poor miserable sinner. That's a pretty strong language.
The proclamation though comes from outside of ourselves, and it should, you know. God's word comes to us through the pastor's words and forgives us and releases us of our sin. That's important.
Exactly.
But we can't leave it there. You know, we need to root our identity in the truth that we are forgiven, we are free, we are totally accepted, that we are God's child. And we need to proclaim that too. You know, that voice within us, in fact, you know, is the sin is gone. It's done. It's no longer, you know, Christ lives in me. And so I would like to hear, you know, again, going back to we're gospel bearers for one another, but we need to be gospel bearers for ourselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard. Go take that thought further, because how does that relate to what Bonhoeffer said when we need the other person to speak that word of Christ to us, to be the gospel bearer, and yet I need to be a gospel bearer to myself, which would suggest is inferior to the word of somebody else?
Yeah, you know, I think he's onto something, because, you know, when you speak it to someone else, you're hearing it for yourself too, aren't you?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so many times, like, I've said to people, like, I'm sorry, and they say, what, it's okay,
mm-hmm.
no mm-hmm. big deal. Well, it is a big deal.
Right, right.
I feel bad. And so being able to say, you know what, God forgives you, and I forgive you. There's nothing in between us anymore, you know? We're okay. You're free. Those are really liberating.
I had an experience like that a couple of weeks ago before I went on vacation. A gentleman had come into my office, and we had some pretty serious issues here a few years back at Holy Cross and worked through. And this gentleman happened to be on the opposite side of the fence that I was on. And we had worked through the issue during that time pretty well, but he didn't feel that we had really brought conclusion to it. So he came into my office and we confessed to each other, and we didn't say, oh, it's okay. We said, no, you're forgiven to each
yeah.
other, to each other, both ways. To me, that's much more powerful. When I make an excuse for something, it never goes away. And that's where my problem. Okay. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it's where my brain has been lately. Anyway, when we don't call sin, sin, it's never dealt with. I mean, it always remains with us. So when I look at the word of God and it calls something my behavior sinful, it's not that God wants to beat me with a club and feel me, have me feel rotten about myself. He wants to bring me to the cross so it's forgiven and done away with, and I can deal with my life from then on. But if I say, well, you know, I did the best I could, and, you know, yeah, it didn't turn out the way I hoped it had, and it hangs on me the rest of my life. It's never dealt with.
Well, what you're talking about is freedom. You know, it's
exactly.
You don't have to deal with it again. It's that you're free, that you're, you know, your load is lighter. And that's the gift of, you know, confessing to one another, and that we can proclaim the word of God. But even when we don't have a brother, that we can proclaim that word to yourself as well, that God's word lives within you. His forgiveness is always present within you. Another book I'm reading by Brennan Manning, you know, he talks about living in present risenness.
Hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, we live in, you know, we live in the reality of the resurrection, that that sin has been vanquished, you know, death has been vanquished, whatever that hymn is, I'm trying to recall, but that all of those enemies, the sin, death, and devil, you know, they've been overcome. And living daily in that present risenness, I still battle, you know, the poor, miserable sinner part. And
yeah, that's ingrained in us Lutherans. We do.
And I think that part, you know, that law aspect, that's the world that we live in. You know, the world of demands and obligations and timelines and. You know, you're never measuring up. I mean, that's what comes natural. We're bombarded with those messages all day, but this message of that we are overcomers, that we, you know, to live in present risenness, to live in victory. I don't think, especially us Lutherans, you know, we're very good at that.
No, in fact, I had a gentleman one time, and I still remember. He came into my office a number of years back. And basically called me on the carpet for, you know, it just sounds like in your sermons, all you're saying is, we'll just get by in this life until we're in heaven. And it really affected me in a positive way to think that we are, that abundant life that Jesus talks about. Mike, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's not just waiting. It's now. It's a present reality of risenness that we're dealing with. So here's one of the things, too. We get back to the idea of identity in Christ, that we are in Christ, and that's our true identity. Within the context of community, that means we are this community for eternity with each other. And that, yeah, we talk about, yeah, when I die, I'll be with my dad and my sister And I don't think that's what I'm trying to talk about here. Eternal community should affect the way we do community here now. The knowing that I'm going to be with you, I'm not with you in the same city, but Stacy, you know, we're connected in Christ. And the unity you and I have in Christ is an eternal bond that's never going to go away. I mean, it's eternity. We're connected right to each other. And that blows me away. And I think it should affect the way that we treat each other here.
Yeah, we have to have the long view in mind, don't we?
I think so.
I think sometimes when we, you know, we're dealing with a difficult brother or sister, and we're usually, you know, also difficult at that time.
Not you and me. Support. We're never difficult with other people, are we?
That we, you know, we have the short view. You know, we're stuck in that moment. And I think, yeah, taking a longer view that, you know, this person is going to be with me in eternity. And, you know, thank God we won't have to, you know, carry this sin stink with us, and that this division between us won't ever be there again. But, you know, yeah, having the compassion that taking in the long view that we're going to, these are our people.
Well, you said it too, and I think it's really critical when you start thinking about the people that we struggle with in Christian community. The people that in church work, you sit there and say, yeah, that would be a healthy subtraction from my church. And we pastors never think that, right? But then he said, but it changes my view of that person if I say, I'm united with this person for eternity. Now, granted, when we're with Christ and we're part of the church triumphant and the resurrection takes place and never going to taste death again and all tears wiped away and we're at the marriage feast of the Lamb, it's not going to be the same as this side of the grave. In fact, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like when we're there. Not even possible for me to fathom. I mean, the Bible does as good a job as it can to give us in human language what we're going to experience, but I think it should change my perspective on how I deal with that difficult person. Here now.
Absolutely.
Even to the point of going up to that brother and sister and saying, look, you know, we're struggling here, but you know, let's keep in mind, you and I are united for eternity in Christ. And we need to treat each other a little differently because of that.
Wow, wouldn't that be radical?
Yeah. It would be, you know. And I think that's the agape love, actually, too. It's part of that. It's not the whole thing, but it's part of the agape love for that person to be able to sit down and put your arm around them and say, you know, we're going to work through this because we're united for eternity. I think Bonhoeffer, he has such insightful things that he brings up in this book. And you and I are just scratching the surface of it. You know, just before we break out of this segment, see, is there something else from his book you want to share with us that maybe is not even related to anything we've been talking about, but you thought, hey, this is just something I want to share with the listeners?
Well, you know, one of my favorite aspects you know, and I'm just going to maybe read on page 111 from chapter 5, but this idea that, you know, when we go to church, there's a Christian song called, I think, Happy Shiny Faces or Happy Shiny People. And we put on this mask. Like, people ask you, like, how are you? And usually people say, what? I'm fine. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, later you find out that they're not so good or they're going through a really difficult time. And so, you know, he writes in here, you know, the mask you wear before men will do you no good before him. He wants to see you as you are. He wants to be gracious to you. You do not have to go on lying to yourself or your brother as if you were without sin. You can dare to be a sinner.
And, you know, that's powerful. That's powerful.
That's really kind of my hope. You know, when I interviewed for this job, one of the things I, you know, kind of said, and it really made an impact with one woman that actually has become a friend, but I said, you know, I'm a beautiful mess. And she just said that, you know, that really hit her because, you know, here was another woman, you know, not just saying like, I'm a mess.
Right.
But that she identified it as beautiful.
Yes.
And that kind of giving her permission to also say like, wow, like I'm a beautiful mess too. And, you know, just encouraging one another to take off the mask and dare to be a sinner and not only, you know, in front of God, but in front of one another. That's where I think, you know, real and authentic community is going to begin when we admit to one another that we don't have it together. But we also do have it together, you know?
The picture that came to my mind in that is beautiful, is what you're saying, because the picture is if we are truly clothed in Christ, put on the clothing of Christ, why do we want to put a mask over Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. Why? But we do it every day.
Every day.
Every day. And
because of God's grace, we're forgiven for it. So we got one more segment coming up. When Stacy and I come back, we're going to talk about the blog I wrote related to this, which I entitled Life Together with a question mark after it. And I'm going to have you listen to it. This break, you get a chance to listen to that blog, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. We'll be back after you listen to the blog.
I'm Pastor Doug Bronner, Senior Pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And welcome to the Praying with the Eyes daily devotion. Life together? So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another. Romans 14:19, New English Translation. My high school youth group played a significant role in my faith development. We were blessed with a wonderful pastor, great adult leaders, and parents who supported our involvement. But one night, things went a little too far, at least in my eyes. I don't remember what we did that day, but I do remember gathering in the church's sanctuary for prayer. At the end of the prayer, one of the adult leaders suggested that we give each other a kiss. No, it wasn't a romantic kiss. There was nothing exceptionally weird about his request. He asked us to give each other a holy kiss, as Paul suggested in Romans 16:16. To be honest with you, I'm much more comfortable with holding hands than giving a holy kiss. Maybe I'm more comfortable holding hands because the world looks much different today than it did in Paul's. However, I view holding hands as a symbol of our life together in the Christian community. We are much more autonomous in the 21st century than people of the first century. In the first century, Christians needed each other for protection and as advocates. They couldn't dial 911 at times of emergency. Instead, they'd run to a trusted friend when in need of help. They stood together because they needed each other on many different levels. Whether we live in the first or the 21st century, Paul's call to pursue those things that make for peace and for building each other up still remain. We still need each other. We need communities that are focused on peace. In the biblical context, peace is more than the absence of strife. Peace is contentment. Peace is wholeness. Peace is rest. We need communities that experience this kind of peace. We also need communities that build one another up in Christ. Every day the world tears us apart. We can't trust coworkers, our neighbors, and sometimes even our friends and family members. We're used as stepping stones for someone's ascent to greatness. Life together in Christ's body is life that focuses on peace and love, because this community is founded on Christ, who is our peace. Life together begins and ends at Jesus' cross and empty tomb.
So if you'd like to read that blog, which you just heard, you can go to the Praying with the Eyes website. It's posted on on the 1st of August, and it should be there for you. You can also go to the show notes. If you go to Praying with the Eyes and you click on the show notes for today, it will give you more resources. It'll give you a link to where you can purchase the book, Life Together, and some other stuff that'll be there too for you. To take you a little bit deeper into the topics that Stacy and I have been talking about. So the picture is up in the show notes of that I'm referencing in that blog. And it's from our recent trip to Peru. And when we got to this community, we had been in Peru for about 2 days. By the time we finally got to the village that we help build a church building in, and we rode in the back of this trailer that just had some 2x12 boards on it that we had to sit on, and the road was rougher than any street here in Colorado Springs with all the potholes we've got, and it was pulled by a what looked to me like a rototiller on steroids. And we got to the community. The first thing we did is they brought us into the old church building they've been using, and they sang, and of course we don't speak Spanish, but some of us do. And then the dancers they have started dancing in a circle, and they pulled a few of us in and pulled a few of us. Finally, they pulled all of us in, and we were holding hands as we were dancing in Peru. And I like the symbol of holding hands. I talk about in that blog, I like the symbol of Christian unity and holding hands. As I mentioned in that blog too, I'm not a real fan of St. Paul's holy kiss idea. That's not my Germanic background. It's not part of my makeup, but holding hands can be a wonderful sign of Christian unity. In that blog, I take on the passage also from Romans, Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another, from the New English Translation. So, Stacy, let's talk about the two aspects Paul brings out there, peace and building one another up, as we talk about Christian community. So what does peace look like in the Christian community?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to what we said before. I think peace, you know, looks like it begins with looking at one another through the lens of Jesus. that, you know, we can't achieve peace. We can't even reach out our own hand, but that it's Christ in me that is reaching out that hand of peace. And so I think it begins with living in that reality that Christ is that mediator, is that person between, you know, me and that other person.
It also seems to me that our definition of peace is much more of a worldly definition of peace than the biblical world of shalom. You know, shalom is the Hebrew word is so much richer than this absence of violence. And that seems to me to be the worldly definition of peace. You know, it's an absence of violence either outside of me or inside of me. You know, that is peace. Now, that is a part of peace, I think. But there's a holistic aspect in the Hebrew word of shalom, of contentment, of wholeness, of being. And I think that's what also is a part, God's desire of for the Christian community. It's not just that we're all getting along and singing kumbaya. That's real artificial to me. It's not being real. It's not the mess. You talk about the mess in Christian community and embracing the mess as well. And it's maybe it's that idea of the person who said she was a beautiful mess. That can be a picture of peace. And maybe that's what we need to say about, you know, Holy Cross here. We're a beautiful mess. And we're still a mess, but there's an acknowledgement of being that mess, but we're beautiful in Christ.
Yeah, that grace is greater than the mess.
Yeah, which brings peace.
Right. Because that peace, you talk about peace is more like compared to wholeness. We're not lacking in anything. So there's nothing to have to justify or to prove that we're complete, that we're fully accepted, we're totally pleasing. Where, you know, the lack of peace comes in when I think, you know, you mentioned at the beginning of this podcast where you're trying to justify or prove yourself because there's an aspect that doesn't measure up or there's that wholeness isn't complete. But keeping the reality that in Christ we are complete.
And outside of Christ, that other reality is my reality, that I am lacking in those areas.
Right.
And you've been saying this over and over in this podcast, and I really appreciate that because it really does come back to that I am complete in Christ. And if I can, if I can speak that into my life and have hear other people speak that into my life, I would think it radically change how we relate to each other. And we would begin to experience that peace in the Christian community in the midst of the mess.
Exactly.
But we don't like messes. Humanly, we don't like messes.
Well, and I think that goes into, you know, kind of the next question is, you know, what are some practical ways in which we can do that? And I love Bonhoeffer. He lists a lot of them. And the first one he talks about is holding one's tongue. And he calls it a ministry, the ministry of holding one's tongue. You know, when we look at each other through the eyes of Christ, you know, that person is complete. We are complete. And so sometimes, you know, the first thoughts that we have are usually, you know, the ego talking, the self-justifying aspects of ourself. And so the ministry of holding one's tongue and listening, the ministry of listening, I think as a church, we need to really take that to heart, especially in a very polarized world in which we live. You know, we need to be able to be people that, you know, listen and have a sense of wanting to understand the other person. Again, that's what Jesus would do, right? I mean, he would seek to understand where that person is coming from. And then being able to, once you understand that, to be able to speak. But a lot of times we get it the wrong way. We're not listening. We're already formulating what we want to say to one another. But if we're content, if we believe that we're whole in Christ, we have nothing to really prove. We can sit and listen and take in what our brother or our sister is saying.
So I'm listening to you, it becomes very simple to build build one another up in the body of Christ. And we can make it much more complex. I mean, we gravitate toward people who have 10 steps for this and 5 steps for that. But maybe it's as simple as building each other up as that activity of listening, being completely present in listening to someone and speaking Christ to that person. It's not complicated.
Yeah, and holding back our agenda.
That's hard because it goes back to what I said at the beginning again. My opinion about my agenda is somehow my agenda is also trying to justify my existence. My agenda is going to give me purpose in life, and if you come along to my agenda, you will make me feel like a somebody.
Yeah, I'll be relevant. Yeah. What I'm saying is important.
Well, okay, so that, I think that's critical, this idea of being relevant, because in the midst of that, I'm confronted with my mortality, and my mortality makes me irrelevant, because I'm going to be, and I've said it many times in sermons, I know those of you at Holy Cross are tired of me saying this, but one day we're just going to be a headstone in a cemetery, and most people are not going to know our stories. And that makes us feel so irrelevant that what I do here has no meaning. And I think what you're saying is that the relevancy of our life is in Christ. And that's, again, that's an eternity.
And the relevancy of your life is in Christ.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stacy, thanks for being with me on this podcast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you. We'll do it again. We'll do something else.
Yeah.
Shoot me an email sometime. You come up with a topic you want to talk about.
Okay.
Or better yet, I don't want to commit you to anything, but I would love for you to write a blog that I can post on the Praying with the Eyes website, and let other people think about it. Think about it. I love it when I love being able to let other people get their thoughts out there and ideas and have the conversation and community going on. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. It's great to have you along with us. Again, I would invite you to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes. And what's really important for me in this is that you would not only subscribe to it, but leave a review or a rating of the podcast. iTunes pays attention to that. And what I'm hoping is that people then will be able to go a little further get it up front a little further in iTunes and notice it more often. So please subscribe and review it and rate it. I'd really appreciate it. If you want to get a hold of me, you can with questions at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And if you have a question or a thought for Stacy, I'll make sure that she gets that as well. We'd love for you to come to the website, which is prayingwiththeeyes.com. Once again, this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you're in the Colorado Springs community and you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come by and join us. We worship at 8, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings. We have Bible study for children through adults at 9:30. And then we also have a Bible study going on for adults at 11 o'clock. We'd love to have you be a part of that. We have a ministry here called Life Tree Cafe, and it's a place where you can come and talk about difficult issues, where your thoughts are accepted, your ideas are accepted in a non-judgmental environment, taking on topics from kind of quirky to very deep issues in life. And so we'd love for you to join our Life Tree Cafe. During the summer, we have two of them going on. We have one on Mondays beginning at 11:45 and Tuesday beginning at 11:45. They run for an hour. And we'd love to have you come. Next episode, I bring back with me Rochelle Hecker. Some of you have heard of Rochelle on other the broadcasts and on podcasts that I've had. And we'll go a little deeper with today's topic, and we're going to talk about a blog I wrote that went by the title of Thoughts on Being Judgmental. It's a blog I wrote in my response to how people were treating each other after the SCOTUS decision. I won't talk much about the SCOTUS decision. That's not the issue. It's about judgmentalism. So I hope you'll join us. Please let your family and friends know about this podcast. Share it on your social media and let them know about it so we can reach more people. Thank you for being with us. It's great to have had you a part of this podcast today. May God bless your journey in life.
Thanks for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Laird Production, which you can find online at www.lairdproduction.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.